Well, thinking of Christmas this year, what stands out for us the most as a church is this is our favorite time when we get to meet many of your visiting friends, extended family, and our own neighbors who step into our space for the very first time. It's interesting that for me, it seems that so many of the stories that are common to us throughout the scripture almost make more sense now. As two, we are also faced with moments of fear and our fear colliding with our faith. The new norm is not a yearly change or an interruption, but it's now become something daily that is navigated as we are forced to pivot and move and change. And not just for us as a church, but for our families and our peer groups. An old quote that has been used so often, but has recently become quite loud and bold for me is, we may not be responsible for all the things that happen to us, but we are responsible for how we respond when it does. As we step back into Christmas and this Christmas series that we're doing, the phrase, not the norm, has really become relevant for us as we think about this year. For some, there's the grieving of the fact that family have to connect differently, virtually, without travel. And this new season brings a real abruption to conflict with our traditions, the things that we love to do. And we've grown to be a part of our regular routine, and now they're gone, especially at such a time of year. And maybe for us, this is Mary's story. This year makes so much more sense when we look at her own journey and the complexities that she had to endure and that she did not even ask for. How does our own faith lead us in a crisis? What do we reach to for comfort or safety? Or maybe in the words of the famous movie Ghostbusters, if there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Let's review Mary's story today that's found in Luke 1 throughout 26 and beyond in the chapter. There's a moment that we can sort together. A virgin, Mary, as the scripture says, is visited by an angel. And he says these words to her. He says, you are highly favored. But Mary was troubled. And rightfully so. You have been found with favor, and he will be great as a child is going to, as you are going to give birth to this child. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's dependents forever, and his kingdom will never end. Now, you would think that that would help. You would think that this visitation and the storyline of what's going to happen would solve everything. But you see, this would not be the norm. There's a wonder of love that couples share together. And as her and Joseph, as they think about the norm that they've already entered into, that they would grow in their relationship, their courtship, and a wonderful marriage. And suddenly, as we all know, love sneaks up on us. There's something different in this part of their story. And then the plan, it starts to unfold. How will this be, she asks, because I am a virgin. The angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You see, the norm for us would be that Mary and Joseph, a couple who are enjoying their new home in southwest Nazareth, and now they've purchased their Pacific Blue mid-size VW Atlas that can now haul two children and still look cool. Suddenly, now they can have plans for a family. That would be the norm. And her response that is so important for us today, she says, okay, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. A crisis, a pregnancy unplanned, her own life now at risk, reputation gone, a plan that's not of this world, but her response, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me, may it be fulfilled. How do we get there in the middle of a challenging moment in our own lives? Why has the norm become so valuable to us? Is it our comfort and our resistance to change? Is it because these are just not the changes that we have selected? Is it the extra effort that's required to have to think and to act differently? And now our regular routine has been altered, and we don't like it. Changes happen, and many changes have happened over the years, for good reasons and for bad. And we have to flex and change and keep on moving, whether we like it or not. Do you know, I have to be honest? There's just some changes that I just don't like. Like, bring your own bag to the grocery store. Now, not because I have anything against the environment. I think the plan is wonderful. But do you think I could ever, by the time I use all of my energy to get the car parked, do you think I could remember to bring the bag? Yet my collection of bags are growing in the trunk of the vehicle. There's just some changes that we don't like. Now, there's some changes that I love. The callback. Rather than waiting online with a poor selection of music, I get a callback that just makes me feel like they care. Now, for all of us today, we're having to learn another new way when we enter into grocery stores and places that we need to receive a service from. We have to learn how to operate with our nonverbal communication, our eye communication, and where normally our mouth does the talking or our mouth does the movements, the smiles that we do. I'm still learning that I keep on smiling behind a mask. And yet it's a change. I'm trying to give people the joy of Jesus, that they'll want to be a part of this wonderful community as they sense my smile, but I don't know what my eyes are actually doing or saying. Mary, now chosen, now given a new set of circumstances, she has to change. This is going to change her relationship. This could destroy her character, but this change can also and will, as we know, change the world forever. And her response, I am the Lord's servant. May your words be fulfilled. I'm not sure the plan was that convincing, but I have to believe that there was something about the entire experience that allowed her to move away from rational, logical explanation to something of the Spirit that reached into her inner soul and drew her to the conclusion and this incredible response. We now, looking back, we live as disciples of Christ, and this Christ child, Jesus, born not in the normal way and lived not the norm and taught us ways not the norm. But today we are Christ followers. We're dealing with new life challenges. We are trying to find traction in our present situation, but we need to find this response, the response of Mary, that she would submit to the will and the practice and this moment that she has been called upon for. As the leader of this church, we've had many difficult moments in our history, but none like today. I have never seen a place in my time where my own fear has to submit to my own faith and the challenge back and forth as we wrestle the journey. None of us have been trained for this moment, yet our faith is training in this moment. And like Mary, there is something about the work of the Holy Spirit and in this visitation in Scripture that helped her at her time that is just not the norm. But we would see it in our time. I would suggest that changes will come, and the smaller the change, the less support you may need. But the greater the shift, the greater the change, the more important the anchor, the stability for each one of us. Some of us, change happens, and we just go through with it. We pack our little shopping bag up, we enter the store with a mask, we grab our sanitizer, and we skip along and go about our regular routine. But as change becomes greater, so becomes the greater challenge. I think it defines a deeper level of what we are all about and how well we are doing in our discipleship moment as we are trying to carry through and holding on to that anchor. My friend Jamie, who has summited Everest three different times and multiple mountain climbs, tells the story. And when you hear his story and his process of Everest, it is so inspiring that it has even pressed me to consider it. So far, my training has been quite good. I have arrived at base camp while I'm watching Ultimate Survival Everest. I'm completely fascinated with the risk and the reward, and the gear and the weather and the Sherpas and the ladders over the crevices, or as we learn here at Westside, the crevasse. Each step, each decision, yet propelled with the joy of reaching the top. So too is our journey of faith. In times of challenge, it anchors each moment. And where we are anchored to drives us and pushes our faith forward. But in order to do so, we need to make sure that we are anchored correct and tied to the right things. As we live in the next season of restrictions, and as challenging as they feel, let's develop a practice of reaching for something that can drive our faith forward into the future that we haven't seen. Faithful leaders who continue to step up with creativity and navigate data and wisdom and a clear sense, just like Mary and the angel. An understanding that even though the plan is different, and even though this has so much risk, I'm going to do this because I want to serve the will of the Father. The Spirit will come upon us because we are always wanting to do His work. So interesting, while preparing for this message and sorting through the season and living in the middle of restrictions and navigating the flow of church and work, hovering over the right words today for all of us, another great leader, another person in our church, another awesome Westsider pops in with an email. And I couldn't resist the distraction to read it, and it said this: way to go. We are with you, and we honor your leadership in challenging times. And he's a doctor. He's on the front line in our city, a frontline worker, and he's emailing me and encouraging me. Wow. Leaders that are asking of the Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to serve? How do you want me to be involved? Where do you want me to give? Where should I give more to next? Because I want to be a great steward of your blessing. It's not the norm, but maybe it's the new norm. It's not the norm we're used to, but maybe it's God's norm. What do we do? And how do we respond in a place of crisis? The first thing that I think that we have to be reminded of, it's an old practice, yet easy to forget. It's called confession. Confession. It's the activity of being okay that you're not okay. It's the process of leaning on the beauty of others that are waiting to serve you. Confession. Confess that you don't have it all together, that you don't have it all figured out, and you're not even sure where it's going to end, but we know that we are going to do it together. It was this week, past Monday, an incredible Christmas gift came my way by accident, just a regular day. Love how it always starts out. But a phone call came in from a wonderful person in our community. And in the middle of the conversation, we started to talk about process and leadership and how there's moments that arrive for us that we have to confess. And confession leads us in a process which is forgiveness. That there are things that happen to us that we ultimately can't control, and then suddenly we've become injured. But the surprise that came, it wasn't new knowledge to either of us, but in that moment, the gift, he said, "Bobby, I want to pray for you." It was so beautiful as we shared a prayer together, confessing, learning, growing, but it was a gift as we did it together. What an awesome start to the week. The second thing that we have to be reminded of when we get into a process to land the way Mary lands is this. No matter where your faith line start is, it has to keep moving forward. You see, every one of us on our own journey, on our own path, we have a starting place. We have moments that we're thrown off the path. We have moments that we feel like we can't move forward. But suddenly, Hebrews 11 says this. It said, faith is what is unseen. We haven't seen it. It encourages us that this thing that we have not seen is where we have to bring application into our life today. But faith moves us forward. We move the needle forward because it's our belief that drives us to say, even though I can't see it, I'm going to get there. Faith is an activity. It's an activity that pushes us forward. And so as we arrive in crisis and places and changes, we have to be willing to step forward into what is not seen. We have to be willing to do an activity or an action that will actually push away from fear. And it'll push us towards a new place along our journey. Not only do we confess, and we do this with others to feel supported and understand and move, but our faith we latch onto and say, we are going to move forward. And the last thing is this. Adjust your playlist. Man, I love music. I love almost all types of music. There are types that I don't like, and I will not share those today. King David, interesting when we look at his journey, anointed as a young leader at the age of 16, but didn't see his journey unfold of leadership until the age of 30. 14 years while he was forming in a type of isolation. But what we know about his life, his journey, is worship. Worship music. Worshiping God took him to a place that made him who he would become. Music, songs, and stories. The pictures behind these moments are significant for us. They bring direction. They bring direction to our minds and our hearts, and they bring alignment as God leads us. The alignment of worship song, worship music, scriptures that come alive, take us places that regular music can't do. On occasion, I have the privilege of caring for families that do not have a church connection and they've needed a pastor to do a service where they've lost a loved one. My norm is to visit the home, hear the story, create and serve a family. The joy of tears, love and hope and healing that comes to many families, and new thoughts that maybe a church and a church community matters. And I love the fact when I see them join us and in the value of attending a church and being a part of a community, because somewhere along the line that got distracted in their own moment. It's something that money just can't buy. So often, after a time together, a service is completed, the family find Westside. They find it to be a place of home as they revisit faith. Recently, this story, Margaret and Donald, a young couple moved from Scotland to the town of Hannah. Well, she carried their first child. No family, no friends, only a busy young husband practicing his trade as a local obstetrician, GP, and everything else the community needed. No norm. As away from home, a long way away, brought by love, and of course, a new baby. She was afraid. She was lonely. And she was lost. She said to me, "But my first week was pretty significant as I looked across the road to a little, small church. And it was with child that I walked in and we found our first church. You know, Bobby," she said, "I can still remember, even 60 years later, the song that arrested my fear and encouraged my faith and peace It brought so much peace to this young mother. And the song was called Breath of God. And now, 60 years later, successful journey, serving the community, hundreds of births with her husband along the way. And in fact, if you're from Hannah during the 60s to the 80s, I might have met your doctor's wife. Two moms, two stories, Mary and Margaret. One of them where the gospel was birthed. The birth made the difference that we all celebrate at this time of year. And another, that the gospel brought to her in one of the most challenging moments that she faced away in a little church, in a song. It was such a profound song that now, years later, when she says goodbye to her husband at the age of 90, that this song becomes back into her memory and it carries her once again. Today, at this season, today at this moment in the silence, as we learned last week, behind the discomfort of the mask and the loss of activities and all the things that we normally would have helped and carried us through, could we move towards the words of an old hymn from a hymn writer that was penned so long ago in the song, Breath of God? Westside, if we allow these moments, if we bring God to these moments and allow the Spirit of God to do what He wants to do, we're going to find new grace. We're going to find new moments again. And we are going to be led in such a unique way as the presence and work of the Holy Spirit, as did with Mary in her life. In our own lives, we will find great strength. It is here where we may wrestle through to a new norm that's just not the norm that we were used to. I want us to close today with these words from Edwin Hatch, 1878, in his song, Breath of God. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love the way you love and do what you would do. Breath of God, breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until my will is one with yours and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, shall I never die, but live with you this perfect life for all eternity. Amen and amen.